بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبع هداه، أما بعد، فنكمل في البيقونية، وكنا وصلنا إلى قوله رحمه الله في الشاذ: وما يخالف ثقة به الملا فالشاذ والمقلوب باسمان تلا. وهذا مبحث آخر سيأتي.
بسم الله. نعم، تفضل. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبع هداه، أما بعد. And so we continue then with the explanation of al-Bayquniyya. And in today's session, we continue from his statement in relation to الشاذ. He mentions وما يخالف ثقة به الملا, that the one who opposes, يعني the trustworthy narrator who opposes a group, then it is considered شاذ. It is considered شاذ. And so we now have the definition of an important category known as الشاذ.
نعم، هذا من مباحث الضعيف، وهو أن الراوي يخالف غيره من الرواة. فإن كان هذا الراوي مقبول، بمعنى أنه ليس بضعيف، وخالف من هو أقوى منه، فهذا يسمى الشاذ. وإن كان الراوي ضعيف وخالف الثقات، فهذا يسمى المنكر. فهذان نوعان، وسيأتي المنكر أيضا.
نعم. So he mentions here then that we have another area of research from the categories of the science of hadith, and that is that which relates to الشاذ. And الشاذ is that which has within it opposition. That is to say, that the narrator opposes narrators who are more trustworthy than him. If the narrator himself is trustworthy, then the hadith is considered شاذ. If the narrator is trustworthy and he opposes narrators who are more trustworthy than him, then it is considered شاذ and it is known as شاذ. But if the narrator is weak and he opposes trustworthy narrators, then the hadith is referred to as munkar. Munkar. If it is trustworthy, شاذ. But if the narrator is weak opposing those who are trustworthy, then it is munkar.
ثم قال: والمقلوب قسمان تلا، إبدال راو ما براو قسم، وقلب إسناد لمتن قسم. هذا نوع آخر من أنواع الحديث الضعيف، وهو المقلوب.
So we move on to another category, and that is المقلوب.
والمقلوب يأتي على نوعين: مقلوب أو قلب في المتن، وقلب في السند. وسبق أن قلنا أن المتن هو كلام النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، والسند هو سلسلة الرواة.
نعم. And so the مقلوب is of two types. We have مقلوب that occurs, or the قلب, which is the in essence rearrangement of a chain of narration, the accidental rearrangement. Of course, if it's intentional, it's even worse. But the accidental rearrangement of a chain of narration. And so it is of two types, two categories. He mentions that ibdal, that is the exchange of one narrator for a different narrator. And so we have a chain of narration. It occurs in a particular manner. This individual exchanges when he narrates one narrator for another. That is the first category. And we likewise have the second category, which is the qalb that occurs between the isnad and the text. And so a person exchanges the text with the isnad with a different text.
هذا ليس قلب. الإنسان نفسه يقلبه ما يضر على الإنسان
الآخر. القسم الثاني إيش قال؟
قلب في المتن في نفس المتن. القلب في المتن مثاله وهو أن يأتي إلى نفس المتن فيقلبه، مثل قول الرابي فلا تعلم شماله ما تنفق يمينه.
نعم.
والصواب ماذا؟ فلا تعلم يمينه ما تنفق شماله. هذا القلب قلب
في المتن.
في المتن.
A correction. The affair of قلب here in the matan is قلب in terms of the wording within the matan itself. Within the text itself, that is what is intended here. That is, the wording occurs in a particular manner and the narrator changes the wording. So we have قلب in the chain of narration and we have قلب in the text itself. So like the hadith that his left doesn't know what his right has given, that it's exchanged, that his right doesn't know what his left has given. And so that is a substitute that occurs within the text itself. That is the second category. So the first category, to reiterate, is exchange that occurs between narrators. The second category is that which occurs within the text itself. That something within the wording in the text was exchanged erroneously.
قال والفرد ما قيدته بثقة أو جمع أو قصر على رواية. هذا أيضا من أنواع علم الحديث بالنظر إلى عدد الرواة، وهو ما يسمى الفرد، وهو أن ينفرد الراوي بالحديث، يرويه واحد أو ينفرد به واحد، وهذا نوع من أنواع الغريب الآحاد.
And then the imam continues that the fard is that which one individual narrates by himself, but it's restricted to one trustworthy narrator. And so here we move on to the next category of the science of hadith, and that is what is known as al-fard. So fard is that one narrator is known to narrate this hadith alone. And it is one of the categories of the hadith al-ghareeb that we mentioned, I believe yesterday, or perhaps the day before. And that is that one narrator alone narrates the hadith.
وهنا قال ذكر أنواع ثلاثة، فرد أو غريب، وهو ما قيد بثقة، ومعناه من فرد به ثقة، مثل حديث إنما الأعمال بالنيات، فرد به عمر إلى آخر الإسناد.
And so he mentioned three categories of the fard. The first of them is the narration that only one trustworthy narrator has transmitted. Such as the hadith إنما الأعمال بالنيات, that the actions are by their intentions. Only one narrator has narrated it, if you look at its chain of narration. And so this is the fard, that is, it is a form of غريب, but it is one narrator narrating the hadith.
وقوله أو جمع أي قيد بجمع كأهل بلد أو قرية، فيقال مثلا تفرد هذا الراوي بهذا الحديث عن الشاميين مثلا.
Or that it is restricted to a particular place. And so that is like, for example, that this narrator is the only one that has narrated it from the people of Sham, for example. And so he is the only one that has taken it from the whole of the narrators of that region. And so sometimes the term fard may be used to refer to a narrator that takes a hadith and he is the only one that has taken it from a particular city or a particular place.
قال أو على رواية، رواية، هذا ما قيد على رواية، بأن يقول لم يروه عن فلان إلا فلان، ما رواه عن أهل المدينة إلا فلان، فقيده بالرواية.
And so sometimes it may be restricted by narration. And so from the people of Medina, no one narrated the hadith from such and such except such and such from the people of Medina. And so he is the only one that narrated that from those people.
ويجب العلم أن أحاديث الآحاد يجب قبوله في العلميات وفي العمليات، يؤخذ بالعقائد وبالفقه، لا كما يقول أهل البدع لا تقبل الآحاد بالعقيدة. وأدل دليل على هذا، والأدلة كثيرة على أن حديث الآحاد يفيد العلم واليقين. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أرسل معاذا وهو واحد إلى اليمن، وأول ما يدعوهم إليه لا إله إلا الله، العقيدة.
And so the hadith al-ahad, or those narrations that have occurred, where we only have one chain of narration or one narrator narrating that hadith, they are taken and they are considered يعني reliable forms of knowledge. And they are trustworthy forms of knowledge. It is not, or chains of transmission. It is not as the people of innovation say that we don't take from the ahadith al-ahad if it is an aqidah. That is not our belief. Rather, in fiqh, in aqidah, in any one of the sciences, the ahadith al-ahad, as long as it is trustworthy and it is considered authentic, we take it. And the clearest proof of that is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he sent Mu'adh ibn Jabal to Yemen, and the da'wah was established upon the people of Yemen with this one man. And so had that not been the case, and had their position been correct, then his da'wah would not have been accepted, and should not have been acceptable, because he was only one man. And so this claim of the people of innovation is falsehood.
قال وما بعلة غموض أو خفى معلل عندهم قد عرف. هذا نوع أيضا من أنواع الحديث الضعيف، وهو المعلل، أو يقال المعل، أو يقال المعلول، كلها بمعنى واحد. وتعريفه هو الحديث الذي اطلع فيه على علة خفية تقدح في صحته مع أن الظاهر السلامة. وهذا شرط المعلل، أن يكون ظاهره السلامة وأن تكون العلة خفية غير ظاهرة. وهذا من العلوم الصعبة التي لا يتقنها إلا بعض علماء الحديث المتقدمين كالدارقطني بن المديني وأحمد، ومن المعاصرين الشيخ الألباني رحمهم الله جميعا.
And so then the Imam, he mentions وما بعلة غموض أو خفى. He moves on to another category of hadith, and that is that which has a hidden defect. The hadith that is known as the hadith المعل, or the hadith that has a hidden defect. He mentions here a defect that is غموض or خفى, يعني that is obscure or is hidden. And the scholars of hadith, they mention it is, or the definition of the hadith that has an illah or a hidden defect within it, it is the hadith that the alim of hadith comes across a illah khafiyya, a hidden defect, مع أن ظاهره السلامة, even though what is apparent from the chain of narration is that the hadith is sound. Yani there isn't a manifestly clear problem, such as we see clearly there's a weak narrator in the chain, or we see clearly some other broken مثلاً isnad, or some other problem. There is no apparent problem, but there is a hidden defect that is present within the hadith. And this is from the sciences of hadith that are from the most difficult categories of the knowledge of hadith. And thus, you'll find not all of the scholars of hadith were able to detect the hidden defect. And so you'll find there were only certain scholars of hadith that were had mastered the affair of discovering the hidden defect, such as Al-Imam Ad-Darqutni, and such as Al-Imam Ali ibn al-Madini, and likewise from among the Mu'asireen and the contemporary scholars, Sheikh Nasir al-Din al-Albani, that they were able to detect these hidden defects, rahimahumullah.
قال وذو اختلاف سند أو متن مضطرب عند أهيل الفن. هذا أيضا نوع من أنواع الضعيف، وهو المضطرب. المضطرب بمعنى أنه مختلف، فيه وجه من التناقض. وتعريفه في المصطلح ما روي على أوجه مختلفة متساوية في القوة، بحيث لا يمكن أن نجمع ولا أن نرجح.
And so he goes on to mention that which is related to the hadith al-Muttarib. And the hadith al-Muttarib, he mentions, is that hadith that has ikhtilaf in the sanad. And that is why he mentions here, وَذُخْتِلَافٍ سَنَدٍ وَمَتَنٍ. He mentioned, أو مَتَنٍ. He mentioned, and the one that has, or the isnad that has a discrepancy in its chain or in its text, مُطَّرِبٌ عِنْدَ أُهَيْلِ الْفَنِّ. مُطَّرِبٌ عِنْدَ أُهَيْلِ الْفَنِّ. That it is considered مُطَّرِب. It is considered مُطَّرِب. يعني it is considered يعني the term مُطَّرِب literally means unstable. And what is intended by way of it is, as he mentions, the definition of it is that it is a hadith that has come and has been narrated in more with more than one chain of narration. Those chains of narration have differences, yani they are not the same. One chain is narrated in a particular manner, the other is narrated in another manner, but they are of an equal level of strength. And so the scholar of hadith is not able to determine which of those two versions is the version that is correct. Yani so the hadith that has more than one version or manner in which it has been narrated, and they are of equal strength. And so when you look at it from this angle, or from this isnad, we have an indication, or it indicates a particular thing. You look at the other isnad, it indicates something else, apparently. And the strengths of those chains are similar, or the same. And so this is what is known as the hadith al-muttarib.
وهذا الاضطراب قد يكون في السند، قد يكون في المتن، وهذا أيضا يحتاج إلى أهل العلم في الحديث. وابن حجر رحمه الله له في ذلك رسالة، المقترب في بيان المضطرب.
And this اختلاف as well, this differing that occurs, it may occur in the chain of narration. And so it may be that we have two separate chains that are narrated in two manners. And those two chains for the same hadith, one is narrated in this fashion, one is narrated in that fashion. They are of similar strength. And so we have a problem in terms of how those two chains have occurred. And we're not able to determine which of them is the correct narration, which is the correct isnad. And it may occur likewise in the matan, as we mentioned, the text of the hadith itself. It may in one chain end with one wording, and in another chain it ends with a different wording, and they are of similar levels, and so we're unable to determine which of the two is the most correct. And Al-Hafidh Ibn Hajar has written a book in relation to the Affair Al-Muqtarib, in relation to the Hadith Al-Muqtarib. That is the book that he authored that brings close the Ahadith that are Muqtarib. These hadith that are narrated in this manner.
ايضا من انواع العلوم الحديث قال والمدرجات في الحديث ما اتت من بعض الفاظ الرواة اتصلت، وهذا ما يسمى المدرج. والمدرج تعريفه ما غير سياق اسناده او ادخل فيه في متنه ما ليس منه بلا فصل. ما غير سياق إسناده أو أدخل في متنه ما ليس منه بلا فصل. غير سياق إسناده مثل أن يأتي بإسناد ثم يأتي بكلام ليس بكلام النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، فيظن أن الإسناد لهذا الكلام. مثاله شريك القاضي كان يروي الحديث فقال حدثنا الأعمش عن أبي سفيان عن جابر ثم دخل ثابت بن قيس فرآه القاضي فقال أو شريك القاضي رآه فقال من كثرت صلاته في الليل حسن وجهه في النهار. هو يقصد ماذا؟ يقصد هذا الرجل الذي دخل. فظنوا هؤلاء أن السند هو لهذا الكلام، وظنوا أن هذا الكلام هو كلام من؟ النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، وهو أصلا توقف عن الإسناد وذكر عبارة من عنده، فأدرج هذا في السند.
And so the following category is known as al-mudraj. And he mentions wal-mudrajatu fil hadith ma atat. The mudrajat are those narrations that have occurred min ba'd al-fadh ar-ruwat ittasalat. That is, he mentions that the mudraj is that which occurs wherein we have an insertion in the hadith that is not from the hadith, and it either occurs in the chain of narration or it occurs within the hadith itself. And an example of mudraj, yani, or just to clarify the definition, it is that something has been added to the hadith in a way or in such a way that it is not made distinct from the hadith itself. And so one presumes that it is from the hadith, when in actuality it is not. Again, that something is added to a hadith that is not from the hadith itself in such a manner that one presumes that it is from the hadith, and there is no determining factor, but in actuality it is not. An example of that, Sheikh mentions that Shariq, on an occasion, one of the narrators of hadith, he was narrating and he said, Haddathana al-A'mash. He said, al-A'mash narrated to me. Then he said, Haddathana Abi Sufyan. And then he said, An Jabir. And then an individual entered, Thabit ibn Qais. He said, when he saw him entering the masjid, this is while he was narrating the hadith. He saw the individual enter the masjid. He looked at him and said, من كثر صلاته بالليل حسن وجهه بالنهار. He said, whomsoever prays plentifully at night, his face is beautified by day. And he didn't intend the hadith, he intended the man that walked in. And so he narrated a chain of narration. حدثنا الأعمش حدثنا أبي سفيان عن جابر. Then he looked at the man as he walked in with his radiant face clearly after praying قيام الليل, and so he said من كثرت صلاته بالليل حسن وجهه بالنهار. He said whomsoever's prayer is abundant at night, his face is beautiful by day. He intended the man that just walked in. But those who were writing the hadith thought that that was what that chain ended upon. Man hasana wajhuhu bin nahar, man kathura salatuhu bin nahar, hasana wajhuhu bin layl. So they wrote that down as though it was the hadith for that chain, when in actuality it wasn't. He was merely indicating the radiance that was on the face of the man that just walked in. But it happened to occur at the end of him narrating the chain of narration. So this is what is known, or this is an example of al-mudraj.
هذا في السند. أما في المتن فقد يكون الإدراج في أوله وقد يكون في وسطه وقد يكون في آخره. ولما نقول مدرج بمعنى أنه أضيف إلى الحديث كلام ليس من كلام النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لكن ظن أنه من كلام رسول الله. مثال ذلك المدرج في الأول, قال أبو هريرة أسبغ الوضوء ويل الأعقاب من النار. أسبغ الوضوء من كلام أبي هريرة, فظنوا أنه من كلام من؟ النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. هناك مدرج في الوسط مثل الحديث المشهور حديث بدء الوحي، قال فكان يتحنث وهو التعبد. تفسير وهو التعبد من الزهري وليس من كلام النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، في الوسط. وأيضا المدرج في الأخير، وذلك حين قال أبو هريرة للعبد المملوك، قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم للعبد المملوك أجران، ثم قال أبو هريرة فظنوا أنه كلام رسول الله، قال والذي نفسي بيده لولا الجهاد وبر أمي لا يعني وددت أن أكون مملوكا. فأبو هريرة ماذا قال؟ للعبد المملوك أجران والذي نفسي بيده لولا بر لولا الجهاد وبر أمي لا تمنيت أن أكون مملوكا. فظنوا أن هذا من كلام النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، لكنه من كلام من؟ أبو هريرة، مدرج، لأن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يقول بر أمي لأن أمه ماذا؟ ماتت. النبي مكانه أعلى الخلق. نعم.
As far as this first example that we mentioned when the man walked in and so on, that is idraj that occurs within the chain, between a chain and a text. Then we have idraj that occurs within the text itself. And this occurs in the beginning of a chain, beginning of a text, the middle of a text, and at the end of a text. And so, an example of idraj that occurs in the beginning of a text, the statement of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, أسبغ الوضوء ويل للأعقاب من النار. Abu Hurairah, he said, perform and perfect your wudu and perform it well, and woe to the heels from the hellfire. This statement, perform your wudu well, though it appears to be the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in actuality is the statement of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam actually said, وَيْلٌ لِلْأَعْقَابِ مِنَ النَّارِ, woe to the heels from the hellfire. But Abu Hurairah, when he narrated the hadith, he said, almost as though he was admonishing them, أَسْبِغُ الْوُضُوءُ, perform your wudu well, وَيْلٌ لِلْأَعْقَابِ مِنَ النَّارِ, woe to the heels from the hellfire. So that last statement was the statement of the Prophet ﷺ. The initial statement was the warning of Abu Hurairah that was perceived to be the statement of the Prophet ﷺ, and so was considered mudraj within the hadith. An example of the mudraj that occurs in the middle of the hadith is the well-known hadith that occurs in the book of Bad'ul Wahi and the beginning of the revelation coming to the Messenger of Allah ﷺ. Within the popular hadith, the hadith mentions that the Prophet ﷺ kana yatahannath, and the great Imam al-Zuhri, he said wa huwa ta'abbud. He said the Prophet ﷺ used to yatahannath in the cave. And this word was a word that wasn't regularly used. So Imam al-Zuhri, one of the narrators in the chain, said wa huwa ta'abbud, and it is worship. And so he said, explaining the word, it is worship. And so that was apparently added to the hadith, and it appeared that it was from the hadith, but it was from the wordings of Al-Imam Zuhri, rahimahullahu ta'ala. An example of the mudraj and idraj that occurs at the end of the chain is the statement, or that which occurs in the hadith, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, مطلع الحديث Abu Hurairah, the Prophet sallallahu said that whomsoever للعبد المملوك, that for the عبد المملوك, or for the servant or the slave that is possessed or owned by someone, he has two rewards. The bondsman that is possessed and owned by someone has two rewards. This hadith, Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he said, لولا الجهاد وبر أمي لتمنيت أن أكون مملوكا. He said, if it were not for jihad and being dutiful to my mother, I would wish that I was a bondsman, I was a slave. Because of this hadith, that the slave has two rewards. And so this statement was not from the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was in actuality the statement of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, but it was perceived to be from the statement of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam.
قال وما روى كل قرين عن أخه مدبج فاعرفه حقا وانتخه. هنا أيضا من علوم أنواع الحديث وهي من لطائف لتمييز أو لعدم وقوع اللبس بين التلميذ والشيخ نوع اسمه المدبج. والمدبج في اللغة معناه المزين، تدبيج المزين. ومعناه في المصطلح أن يروي القرينان بعضهما عن بعض، يكون هناك في طبقة واحدة قرينان مثل اثنين من الصحابة فيروي بعضهم عن بعض. مثال ذلك عائشة تروي عن أبي هريرة، أبو هريرة يروي عن عائشة، فرواية أبو هريرة عن عائشة وعائشة أيضا تروي عن أبي هريرة يسمونه ماذا؟ مدبج. فكل واحد يروي عن الآخر. لكن لو كان فقط واحد يروي عن الآخر بدون الرجوع يسمى رواية الأقران. فهذا الفرق بين المدبج ورواية الأقران.
Then the Imam mentions another category from the categories of علم الحديث and مصطلح الحديث is that which is known as رواية المدبج. رواية المدبج. رواية المدبج is that two contemporary narrators who are of a similar era, similar age and what have you, that they narrate one from another. The riwaya that is known as the riwaya al-mudabbaja is the riwaya that this narrator, who is a contemporary to this narrator, he narrates from him and he from him. That they narrate from each other. And the reason it is an issue is because usually narration occurs from student, from sheikh to student, ordinarily, in one particular manner. But the riwaya al-mudabbaja, we have two channels. Narration going one way and narration in some occasions going the other way. An example of that, Aisha and Abu Huraira radiallahu anhuma. Aisha radiallahu anha narrates from Abu Huraira. And on occasions, Abu Huraira narrates from Aisha radiallahu anhum. And so when we have this form of narration, this contemporary narrating from that and them narrating from their contemporary, it is known as riwayat and riwayat that is mudabbaja. If it only goes one way, that is the both of them are contemporaries of a similar age and have taken from similar shuyukh, but it is only one way, so only one narrator narrates from the other, but they're contemporaries in age and in taking from scholars, then it is known as riwayatul aqran. Riwayatul aqran. And so both of them are the narration of one contemporary from another. In the first instance, which is mudabbaj, they both narrate from each other. But with riwayatul aqran, the narration only goes one way.
وعندنا ايضا المتفق والمفترق والمؤتلف والمختلف. قال متفق لفظا وخطا متفق وضده فيما ذكرنا المفترق. هذا النوع الأول وهو المتفق والمفترق، وهذا في أسماء الرواة. متفق في اللفظ والخط، خط الكتابة، لكنه مفترق في الحقيقة، يختلفان. مثال ذلك لما نأتي إلى قالوا رجل اسمه الخليل بن أحمد. الخليل بن أحمد متفق هذا الاسم لفظاً وخطاً كلهم الخليل بن أحمد، لكن عندنا الخليل بن أحمد ستة أشخاص، فهذا الخليل بن أحمد وهذا الخليل بن أحمد وهذا الخليل بن أحمد، فهذه الصورة تسمى متفق في الأسماء لكن مختلف في الأشخاص، متفق ومفترق. وهذا من باب أن نأمن اللبس فنعرف من المقصود بالخليل بن أحمد هنا، في أي طبقة، من تلاميذه، من شيوخه. فإذا عرفنا أن الخليل بن أحمد أشخاص كثر، فكل ما يرد علينا لا بد من التمييز حتى ما نقع في اللبس.
Then we move on to another category of علم الحديث, and that is known as the مفترق. المتفق والمفترق. المتفق والمفترق. That is those narrators that come together but in actuality are separated. What is intended by that? That is that they come together in terms of their name and how their names are written, but they are separated in terms of their realities. And though their names are written and spelt exactly the same, they are in actuality different individuals. And for example, we have Khalil ibn Ahmad. Khalil ibn Ahmad, you'll find in chains of narration, but we should know that there are some six Khalil ibn Ahmads. And so this science or this branch of ilm al-hadith gives us the tools to differentiate between one Khalil ibn Ahmad and the other, so that we're aware of who is who and that we don't make the mistake of confusing one with another. And so that is المفترق, المتفق والمفترق.
وعندنا نوع آخر وهو المؤتلف والمختلف. قال مؤتلف متفق الخط فقط وضده مختلف فخش الغلط. هذا النوع أيضا من علوم الحديث وهو المؤتلف والمختلف. ما معنى أن تتفق الأسماء أو مثلا الألقاب تتفق في الكتابة بدون النقاط والتشكيل، الاسم فقط كتابة، لكن في القراءة واللفظ والنطق تختلف. مثلا نكتب سلام، هناك من اسمه سلام، هناك من اسمه سلام. من حيث الكتابة ماذا؟ واحدة، لكن اختلفوا في النطق، فهذا سلام غيره سلام. ومثل مسور، نفس الكتابة، مسور مسور ومسور نفس الكتابة، فهذا مؤتلف، أي اتفقت في الصورة الظاهرة لكن في النطق تختلف، فكل راو له نطق خاص.
سليم وسليم،
سليم وسليم، البزاز والبزار، وكثير من هذا.
And so the following category is what is known as المؤتلف والمختلف. المؤتلف والمختلف. And this again, in terms of its translation, is similar to the one prior. مؤتلف is when two things come together, but مختلف that they are in actuality different. And what is intended by مؤتلف والمختلف is that two things come together, but or two names rather, come together in how they are written, but they differ in how they are pronounced. They look the same when in writing, and they differ, but they differ in how they are pronounced. Bearing in mind, Ikhwan, that the Fatha, Kasra, Dhamma, and Tashkeel was not a thing that was present in those early writings and manuscripts. And so you would see a word such as, Sheikh gave us the example of Salam. Yani Sin, Lam, Alif, Mim. So with Salam, we can either say Salam or Salam, which is two ways of saying what is apparently written in one way. And so even though it is written in the same manner, the pronunciation differs. And so this branch of ilm al-hadith gives us the tools to differentiate between this name and that name. Though they apparently look the same, they pronounce differently. How do we make a difference? How do we know which is which? This is where this branch of ilm al-hadith comes in. Or like, for example, miswar. Miswar and musawwar. Two, it's written the same, but pronounced differently. Or Salim and Sulaim. Sin, Lam, Ya, Mim. The difference is in the Fatah, Kasra, Dhamma. Salim, Sulaim. But the writing of the letter of the word is the same. And so this gives us the tools to differentiate between one and the other. Now.
قال والمنكر الفرد به راو غدا تعديله لا يحمل التفردا. هذا أيضا من أنواع الحديث الضعيف وهو المنكر. والمنكر اشتمل أو عرفه بعض أهل العلم بتعريفين. التعريف الأول ذكرناه سابقا وهو مخالفة الضعيف للثقات أو لمن هو أقوى منه. يأتي الضعيف يخالفهم في الإسناد أو في المتن، فلهذا منكر الحديث. وهناك أيضا نوع آخر ذكره البيقوني، وهو أن ينفرد في هذه الرواية رجل فاحش الغلط أو تكثر غفلته أو يظهر فسقه، فهذا أيضا منكر الحديث.
So then we have the hadith al-munkar. And Imam al-Baykuni, he mentions, وَالْمُنْكَرُ well, الْفَرْضُ بِهِ رَاوٍ غَدَى. He mentions, the munkar is that hadith that the rawi or a narrator of the hadith, it comes from one single narration. And the ta'deel, or we do not have any recommendation for that one narrator. And so here he makes mention of a different definition to that which we have mentioned previously. And that is the munkar that we mentioned previously carries two or has two definitions. Number one, it is mukhalafatu dha'if liman huwa awthaq minhu, opposition of a weak narrator to someone more trustworthy than him. That is one definition of the hadith. That is munkar. And so the trustworthy narrators narrate hadith in this manner. Along comes a weak narrator. He narrates it in a completely different manner to how all of these trustworthy narrators have narrated it. And so clearly he has opposed them, and clearly he's wrong. Then we have the second definition, and that is that a narration was narrated only by a narrator that is known for having severe errors in his narration, or having bad mistakes in how he narrates, or in his precision, or makes fisk and major sin apparent. These types of narrators, if they are the only one that narrates that hadith, then the hadith is considered weak. No. And it's considered munkar.
متروكه ما واحد به انفرد وأجمعوا لضعفه فهو كرد أي مردود. وهذا الحديث المتروك، وهذا من أشد أنواع الضعيف، يأتي بعد الموضوع. أشد أنواع الضعيف الموضوع ثم المتروك. وهذا المتروك إذا كان سبب الطعن في الراوي كونه متهما بالكذب فهذا حديثه متروك، متهم بالكذب فهذا حديثه متروك، يعني يكثر من الكذب في كلامه مع الناس. أما إذا كان يكذب على رسول الله فهذا الموضوع. فهذا الفرق بين المتروك والموضوع، وهذا كذلك من أشد أنواع الضعيف.
And so he mentions another category, and that is the hadith al-matruk. That is the hadith that is abandoned. And matruk is when a single individual narrates a hadith while that single narrator is accused of lying. If that single narrator is accused of being a liar, and there is a difference between the one that is muttahimun bil kadhib, accused of being a liar, and the one who is a kadhab. Here, muttahimun bil kadhib with the muhaddithun is that he lies concerning the speech of the people. Doesn't lie upon the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but he lies with the speech of the people. That is muttahimun bil kadhib. And it is, it's something that should be clear, because oftentimes you hear he was accused, but it's not established. The muttahimun bil kadhib is the one that lies, but with the speech, the regular speech, he's lied. Whereas with the one who is established as a kadhab and who has lied upon the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then his hadith are not matruk, not abandoned, they are considered mawdu', fabricated. If he's lied upon the Messenger of Allah and he is known to lie upon the Messenger of Allah and he's a kadhab, then the narration is considered mawdu'. And so we have these two differences. One is accused of being a liar, that is matruk. One is a kadhab, his hadith is mawdu'.
وهذا هو النوع الأخير وهو الموضوع، ولأجل هذا جعله آخر الأنواع لأنه أشد أنواع الضعيف. والكذب المختلق المصنوع على النبي فذلك الموضوع. وهذا الحديث الموضوع وهو الكذب المختلق المصنوع على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، وهذا كما قلنا شر أنواع الضعيف. والنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: من كذب علي متعمدا فليتبوأ مقعده من النار. وهذا له أسباب كثيرة، منها مثلا تعصب المذهبي، منها مثلا يحاول أن يقرب العباد إلى الله سبحانه وتعالى، وهذا يكثر عند متصوفة وجماعة التبليغ وغيرهم، يقولون نكذب لرسول الله، ما نكذب على رسول الله.
And so the last of the categories that are present here is the hadith al-mawdu'. The hadith al-matruk is a hadith that is abandoned, and it is from the worst of the categories, but he left the worst till last, and that is the hadith that is mawdu', fabricated hadith. And it is the hadith that is narrated or that is fabricated and created by an individual who is a liar, one who lies upon the Messenger of Allah. And this liar upon the Messenger of Allah, they have different reasons for lying. Sometimes they lie because of ta'assub, that is, they lie because of partisanship and bigotry in relation to their school of thought. So it leads them to lie upon the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Or sometimes they do so in order to draw the people closer to the worship of Allah, nearer to Allah Azza wa Jal. And so, as occurred with some of the Sufiya, they would say that we are not lying upon the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we're lying for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so, like Jama'at al-Tabligh, and so they would do so with the intent of drawing the people closer to Allah Azza wa Jal and to the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But none of that is justified. All of these ahadith are considered mawdu' and fabricated upon the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم.
ومن ذلك ما يروى، وإن كان فيها انتقدها بعض العلماء، لكن تذكر، وهو أن أحد هؤلاء القصاص، ذلك السلف يحذرون من القصاص الذين يعظون الناس بدون علم، وما أكثرهم الآن، قام وقال: من قال لا إله إلا الله، أو قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: من قال لا إله إلا الله خلق الله طائرا له 600 جناح وفعل كذا وفعل كذا. وكان في المجلس أو في المسجد الإمام أحمد ويحيى بن معين، فدعاه أحمد وقال: من حدثك هذا الحديث؟ وهو لا يعرفهم. فقال حدثني بهذا أحمد بن حنبل ويحيى بن معين. فقال أنا أحمد وهذا يحيى. قال لا يوجد أحمد بن حنبل ويحيى بن معين إلا أنتم. فقال دعه فإنه يعني جاهل.
And an example of what has been narrated from these kadhabin and these liars, an example that the scholars I mentioned concerning one of these qassas or these storytellers, and there are many and they continue to exist until this time, those whose narrations and whose sessions and lessons are just filled with stories. And you know, you just have to think, and there are a few that will come immediately to mind. These storytellers, they existed at the time of the Salaf, and they would narrate and tell stories, and they would narrate these types of ahadith. Whoever says La ilaha illallah, then Allah will create a bird that will have 600 wings, and this bird with 600 wings will do such and such, and narrating kadhib upon the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So on an occasion, one of these narrators, he narrated a hadith, and he said that whoever does such and such, say such and such, then Allah will create such and such. Imam Ahmad and Yahya bin Ma'in was in the gathering. And so Imam Ahmad and Yahya, they said, come here. He said, who narrated this hadith to you? He said, it was narrated to me by Ahmad bin Hanbal and Yahya bin Ma'in. Imam Ahmad said, because he doesn't know, he's not from the people of hadith, so he didn't know that was Ahmad and that was Yahya. He said, I'm Ahmad and this is Yahya. He said, you believe, you think there's no Ahmad and Yahya other than you two? He said, so they were well known for these types of kadhib, these types of lies and fabrications, even upon the scholars of hadith, not only upon the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam alone. So this is something that is well known and is from the worst of the categories of hadith.
من الأسباب أيضا في كذب على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الطعن في الإسلام من الملاحدة والزنادقة كانوا فيما مضى مثل سعيد المصلوب قتل ملحد زديق قال تركت أو كذبت على رسول الله أكثر من 1000 حديث فقيل له يعيش لها الجهابذة العلماء سيستخرجونها يبينون ضعفها وأيضا من الأسباب تقرب إلى السلاطين والملوك حب الدنيا كما روى أحدهم عند أحد الولاة وكان يحب اللعب بالطيور الحمام النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لا سبق إلا في نصل أو خف أو حافر يعني السباق يكون في السهام أو الخيول أو الإبل من يسبق وهذا يحب الحمام اللعب بالطيور فزاد وقال أو جناح كذب على رسول الله حتى يتقرب إلى هذا الوالي هذا الوالي يعرف الحديث وعرف أنه كذب وزاد على رسول الله ليرضيه فطرده من مجلسه
Another example, that there were varying reasons for them lying upon individuals or lying upon the Messenger of Allah with their ahadith, the hadith that they used to create, as occurred with an individual known as Muhammad ibn Sa'id al-Maslub, who was an individual that used to lie upon the Messenger of Allah. He said, I'm fabricating more than 600 hadith upon the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, يعني for and in the way of and in the favor of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so the scholars said that the people of hadith, the scholars of hadith, the geniuses of hadith will uncover each and every one of them. From them were those who lied on the basis of the rulers that they were trying to get close to. For example, it is narrated that there was one of these liars upon the Messenger of Allah who was narrating in the presence of one of the muluk, one of the kings or one of the princes. And he was one that loved flying birds, يعني eagles and what have you, and he would love to race them. And so he knew that there was a hadith that the Prophet ﷺ said that there is no racing except with, or competition except with arrows, with horses, and with ibil, with camels. And so this individual came along knowing that he loved the king or the prince loved to fly birds. He added, والجناح and wings, meaning يعني winged creatures. And so the prince knew that he was lying upon the messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, had some knowledge of hadith and some piety with him, and so he had him expelled and removed from his gathering. So it went completely against him, but he lied upon the messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam just to draw closer to the ruler.
وأهل العلم جمعوا هذه الموضوعات من أشهر الكتب في هذا كتاب الموضوعات لابن الجوزي رحمه الله تعالى.
And these موضوعات or these fabricated hadith have been gathered in authorships, and from the most popular of those authorships is الموضوعات of Imam Ibn al-Jawzi, of Ibn al-Jawzi. الموضوعات of Ibn al-Jawzi, which is a book that occurs in three volumes. He gathers all of these weak and fabricated ahadith.
ثم ختمها بقوله وقد أتت كالجوهر المكنون سميتها منظومة البيقوني فوق الثلاثين بأربع أتت أقسامها تمت بخير ختمت. وبهذا نكون انتهينا من هذه المنظومة وجزاكم الله خير.
And so then the Imam, he finishes and ends the manzuma by saying that indeed وقد أتت, that these lines of poetry have come like hidden pearls, and I have titled it the poem of Bayquni, and it has come as four more, that is 34 lines of poetry, and its categories are completed with good, and it is sealed. And so with that we come to the end of the Manzuma al-Bayquniya, alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, upon its completion. جزاكم الله خير.
وهذه المنظومة مفيدة ما شاء الله وحقيقة يعني فيها كما عرفتم لمن أول مرة يدرس علم المصطلح شيء من الصعوبة, لكن إنما العلم بالتعلم. وترجمة الشيخ أبي حكيم أيضا سهلت كثير إن شاء الله في وصول هذه المعلومات لكم.
And so the manzuma, ikhwan, it is a difficult manzuma. It is, yani, for the person who first embarks upon the knowledge of hadith, it is a difficult journey because many of these categories are new, they're fresh, yani, and you're learning them for the first time. There may seem like many different categories to memorize and learn. But as one goes along, they'll get easier and easier, especially if you have somebody that make it easy for you as you study now. So with that, we come to the end of that session, and we ask Allah to reward Sheikh Khalid. Wallahi, yani, this manzuma, ikhwan, is something that is studied over months of study. To summarize it in three sessions, yani, it's not an easy affair to translate, but to summarize in three sessions and get to the end of it and complete it well, wallahi, is a task. It is probably more difficult than to do a lengthy explanation to summarize it in three sessions because of how much is present within it and how difficult it is to summarize and still give the meaning. So may Allah Azza wa Jal reward our Shaykh and for the whole effort. Wallahi.
In the end, I know Abu Hakim, he's my brother. I know him from long time. He's a student for Mashayikh, Sheikh Rabi', Sheikh Ubaid. And I advise all brother there in Birmingham to study with him, inshallah. He is, يعني, استحق ذلك. الشيء استحق, يعني, الإنجليزي, ها؟ Deserving, ها؟ فهو أخي, لا شك. وإن شاء الله ثقة ثقة. فهو من أوائل من عرفنا من الإخوة في بريطانيا من قديم, من التسعينات, يعني. أيام المدينة دراستنا, ونعرف الأخ أبو حكيم صاحب علم صاحب حكمة, فنسأل الله عز وجل أن يجزيه خيرا. وحقيقة كثير الأخوة يترجمون, a lot of brothers يعني translate for me, but something sometime I يعني lift some information, I know he will explain it for you لأنه صاحب علم. بارك الله فيكم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.